call your attention this morning to Psalm chapter 55 and to verse 22, if you would, please. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." We've all got burdens in our lives. We've all got pressure in our lives. We've all got stress, they like to call it today, in our lives. It doesn't exempt the Christian, the blood-bought believer, not to have stress within their life. But praise God that we do have a book that tells us how to handle the stress, the pressure that we get in all kinds of different situations within our life and during the week. And so this morning, I want to address that, being stressed out. Heavenly Father, bless in the preaching, teaching of your word this morning. And Lord, I know that each one of us are plagued by this in one way or another within our lives, even though we might not even realize it. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to have the victory. Be able to go on in our lives and serve you joyfully. Bless as we do study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you now to go to Acts chapter 8, if you would, please. Book of Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and after the book of Romans, Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Let's all read that responsively this morning. Everybody understand what I'm talking about responsively? You will respond to what I read. I'm going to read one verse, then you read the next verse, and I'll read a verse, you read the next verse. You're responding. It's reading responsibly this morning. Acts chapter 8 and in verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert," altogether. "And he arose and went, and behold, a Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and unto understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." We'll stop there. talking about the Lord Jesus. You would never think of that verse back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, would be a soul-winning verse. But after he explained this verse to that Ethiopian eunuch, he got saved in that chariot. They stopped and he baptized them by immersion after he got saved. It's amazing how stresses us out. It can control us if we allow it. It's a very powerful thing. Sometimes they'll say, well, you need therapy and so forth, and they'll give you these stress balls. You know, that you hold in your hand, smaller than a tennis ball, but you just go ahead and do that, and that's supposed to help you take away your stress, you know. Sometimes they put the boss's face on the stress ball, and that you're going ahead and squeezing him, you know. They make pills for stress as well. They make CDs that play nice music and everything, try to calm you down and take away the stress of the day. They make teas, different kind of teas, Camelina and all of these, and it's supposed to help you with the stress. And then they make candles and aromatherapy and you try to take away the stress and pressure of our daily lives. That's the world we live in today. We're supposed to do both all of that. There's pressure, there's strain upon us. When you look up the word stress, it'll say pressure or strain. And that can be mental. It can be emotional. It can be spiritual. You see verse 32 that we stopped at there in Acts chapter 8. It says that Jesus was led just like a sheep to the slaughter, talking about the cross. And like a lamb, dumb, that means he didn't open his mouth, he didn't speak, before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. You think Jesus is an example for all of us? You think if we have an example to follow, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ? The one that's perfect? Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good example. So many times we go ahead and read the books of these authors and all of that. And boy, you find out about their life and everything, you know. A lot of them are homosexual and atheists and everything else. But you're taking them at their word and, you know, to get over the stress in your life. That's kind of a foolish thing to do, my friend. A lot of times we pick up books, and even Christian books are supposed to be. And we read that, and boy, we just take it hook, line, and sinker until you start looking at that author and what that thing's all about. And boy, you shouldn't be following anything that book says, that's for sure. But there's only one book I would always recommend, and that's the Bible. The Word of God from God. If we're gonna follow anything, we need to follow the example of the life of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus was full of stress all his life? He was under pressure, even at his birth. I mean, as soon as he's born, Herod wants to kill him. There was upon Joseph and Mary as well. They had to take him down to Egypt and wait till Herod died and all of this. And he came back and people of his own town didn't respect him, honor him, or anything else. He was always under the breath. Well, you know, praise God, he had an advantage over everybody because he is God himself. And he can't do wrong. And so no matter how much they tempted him and so forth, he went ahead and even though the pressure was on him, he would not sin. Because he couldn't save us if he did sin. He wouldn't be the perfect, spotless Lamb of God if he did. So the Lord is under pressure all of his life. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were trying to kill him, throw him off cliff and everything else. And they were always conspiring. They were always trying to trap him. He always had pressure upon him to have the answers, to be calm and so forth. You know, just like a lamb, it says that he was as a lamb. A lamb is calm and so forth. Why? Because the shepherd is overlooking the lamb. And so the example there is before us. You talk about pressure. Before he was going to be crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, before he was arrested by the Roman soldiers, he was praying so hard that he sweat drops of blood in his prayer. Boy, if the Lord Jesus can go through all that kind, I mean, he just didn't use any excuse for not praying. He wanted to pray to his Father to complete the will of God. Everybody has a will of God for themselves. God has a will for your life. He has things that he wants you to do within your life. And we are to do it. We have that pressure upon us every day to do right and not do wrong. We always have the pressure of Satan tempting us and so forth, and having that stress. Even as they arrested him that night, the Lord Jesus, there he was scourged. They completely made him naked and whipped him everywhere on his body. Took him, made him carry that cross, the Via Dolorosa, up to Calvary, the Mount Calvary, Golgotha in the Hebrew. And there they hung him for 9 hours. Wow. Put him on the cross between two thieves. You talk about the pressure. All of the blood was draining out of his body. People would go by and mock him, laugh at him. They didn't know what was happening. Of course, Jesus did. He was fulfilling the will of God. You wouldn't be saved this morning if he wasn't put under that pressure, that stress within his life. And so he had a burden to go ahead and carry that cross to fulfill salvation for us. That's why he said it is finished. Even before he died, he said, Father, forgive them. He conquered that stress, that pressure, that even he would have love for his very enemies and forgive them for what they did when he was under the worst stress that anyone could ever be in history, dying for the sins of the whole world. Wow. I guess he is our example. There was no panic in the Lord Jesus Christ over any of that. You know, you read the scriptures and the gospels, nothing like that. He didn't use any quick words. He didn't lose his temper in that way. His spirit was under control. I'm afraid we don't keep our spirit under control. When we're put under stress, sometimes we are under responsibility to carry out the plan of God too. He had to finish it in perfection, and he did. He was our perfect Savior all the way to the crucifixion. I mean, not close to perfect. He was perfect without sin. Wow. You talk about the pressure and stress that the Lord Jesus Christ had all within. A couple things about stress this morning might help you. That's the idea of this morning. First of all, number one, all stress is not bad. All stress is not bad. You ladies, you like to, at least in the old days, I don't know if too many do anymore, take their fruit and so forth and herbs and they can them, put them under pressure and put those in mason jars and put a seal in there, that there's pressure there, seal it up. That kind of pressure is good. Heat it up first, so there is pressure to suck that in. Some of you ladies use pressure cookers. Amen. Now you're talking food. Now you got my attention. Pressure cooker. All pressure isn't bad. And so, pressure, stress, reveals our abilities. You need to know what your ability is. I mean, a lot of times I think we cut ourselves short. We say, I can't do that, Pastor. But then you do. You see, you could have done it all along. Pressure is a good thing. All pressure isn't bad. Some say, well, and they don't try to do new things that they haven't done before. They're afraid they're going to fail. Where'd that come from? Did that come from God? No, it didn't. The old pressure is there. Satan wants you to think that. But God made you. You're able to do more than you ever thought you were able to do within life. Pressure proves your potential. There's pressure all in life, in sports even. Remember when I was a kid and I went up to bat playing baseball. Boy, the pressure was on as everybody was looking at that pitcher, that pitcher and me as well, to go ahead and hit that ball and go ahead and make a hit or a home run or whatever. But the pressure was there. The stress was there. Well, we're glad that the Spencers made it back safely.
Amen.
That's good. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 32. Talking about stress this morning. Talking about pressure within our lives. And so all pressure is not bad. All stress is not bad. Jim Kelly, the great quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, back in the 80s, he was known because there's great pressure to go out there and take a team and go ahead and win that game by leading that team down there. And it's on national television as well. He was known for throwing up before every game. There was so much pressure upon him. And others too have done that, but they got a hold of that and made a big deal out of it. And so he's known for that. I'm just saying that there's great pressure. You're supposed to perform, and everybody's looking to you to do that. Even in acting or Broadway or anything else, and performers or whatever you're doing, jugglers or anything, you're under the pressure to do it. You don't want to drop this. You don't want to do that wrong. You don't want to sing a certain way and not do a good job. There's pressure when you do that. singers that we have in our churches as well. They have that same pressure, that same stress upon them, even as a preacher gets up before a big congregation to preach. And you always are under that. Peter was under pressure, remember? Jesus said, "Walk in the water, come to me." He talked to everybody, but Peter's the one that got out of the boat. Even though there was stress on him, everybody was looking to see what was going to happen. You say, "Well, Peter only took a couple steps." Yeah, well, I got news for you. He still holds the record for water walking. Amen. He's the best. Amen. You know, even because of stress, Peter stepped out, and guess what? It's in the Word of God forever for everybody to read and preach about and everything. Peter walking on the water. He did that under stress. Nobody else got out of that boat. You see, you have to go ahead and not let stress keep you back. Remember David? As a teenager. You talk about stress. You talk about pressure. Huge 9'9" giant. With all his armor and everything. Cursing God and everything. He didn't let stress stop him. The rest of the army of Israel didn't step out. You can do more than you think you can. Even through the stress. I mean, even think about Joseph and Mary. All of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. And she hasn't known Joseph sexually at all. Boy, wouldn't that be something to be able to see that conversation going on, you know? Mary says, "Joseph, I got something to tell you." Boy. Was there pressure on Joseph to put her away? She just broke his heart. She was trying to explain. "Oh, no other man was with me." He said, "Well, where'd the baby come from? God?" "Oh, yeah, sure, okay." He wouldn't believe it. The angel had to come to him as well as Mary. Lots of pressure in life with different people. But you see, the Bible is resplendent with all of that. What about Moses? Stress in his life. How'd you like to lead 3 million Jews over 40 years out there in the wilderness? Always grumbling and criticizing all the time. And he was trying to keep everything under control and didn't have anything to eat, and God had to send manna and water. And well, you talk about stress. Yeah, they had it. You're not alone. We just have it in different ways within our life. What about Noah? "Hey, Noah, I want you to build a boat." Noah never built a boat. "We're going to call it an ark because you don't have any control over this boat. There's no rudder. There's no engine, there's no sail. I want you to make this ark. Because I'm going to wipe out the whole earth. Everybody living is under the pressures on Noah to build the ark. He didn't know who's going to get in or out. God had a plan. He wanted to please God. He was under stress. He was under pressure to get it done and done right. You don't want any leaks in that ark, amen? You had to do a good job. The stress that's in our life, we got to learn how to handle that. How about the man Job? Job. He lost everything he had, plus 10 children. All in 1 week. He buried 10 children in 1 week. The stress upon Job, the pressure upon Job. Yeah, we get heartaches in life, don't we? Especially when one of our relatives die. He had 10 of his children died one day, 1 week anyway. But Job is known for his patience. He didn't get crazy, he didn't panic. He didn't understand. But he was under the pressure. Now he'd lost his health. Had boils and everything else on him. His wife was a big help. There's only one time that she said anything through the whole thing, and it was criticizing him. Wow. All of the stress and pressure. She wasn't any help meet to him, that's for sure. All she wanted to do was be negative and criticize him. It's because of something you did, Job. No, it wasn't. Second point. First point was all stress is not bad. Second point is some stress is bad. Stress can affect your health. It can mess with your physical body. A lot of illnesses come upon us and the doctors can't figure out what it is because it doesn't look like anything physical is wrong with us. What the doctors don't realize, many of them, is that we're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. We've got emotions. We can feel the stress and the pressure within our lives. Just like thousands that went before us, millions I should say. It can affect and come out in your body. You'll worry because of stress and pressure. You'll bite your nails and everything else. A lot of times you can tell by looking at someone's fingernails and so forth, you know. The little moons that you have and so forth, all of those things speak to the doctor about different things that you're going through and everything, especially when they can't find out what's wrong with you. Stress can make bad headaches that you would get. Your digestive system is all messed up because you're not handling your stress. You're under the stress. You try to blame people for it. Stress is part of life. You get a lot of stress, don't do anything about it. You can't sleep at night. You make hasty decisions without thinking about it. No wisdom at all. You turn into a person that's harsh, quick replies at work. The managers at work, they understand this. If they're good managers, they see the quality of your work going down. It can affect your relationships between the family, the pressure and things that you're going through, the stress that you have within your life. It'll affect even your driving, and you drive like a crazy man and so forth, you know. Some of you, I know about your life and must be stress in your life. But even when you're in church, you carry a lot of stress with you. You come to church, you're a piece of meat just sitting in the pew, but you're stewing about everything that's going on in your life and at work and everything else. You aren't getting a message at all. Stress will do that. It'll make you blindsided. To the thing, you sit there with no joy at all, not want to sing or anything else. And you'll make other people miserable that are around you as well. Hey, we better do something about this stress thing that we have within our life. We better know how to handle that. Let me just give you some things that might help you within your life with stress. Number one, obey God. Obey God. You don't do what you want to do. You do what God says. Or you can continue through your life with stress and everything. You'll die one way or another of that thing. That invisible thing, stress, the pressures of life. Obey God or you'll end up worse than the lost people. Christians shouldn't live like that. Better learn to get a hold of this. Get a handle on it. Stress within your life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Stress will make you worry. You say, oh, what if this happens? Oh, that's going to happen. I just know it. Oh, you're living on pins and needles, irritable with everybody else around you. You have no happiness and joy. You have no answers. Your life's falling apart right in front of your eyes because of stress. And the Bible says the ball's in your court. Don't go blaming God. Don't go blaming the preacher or other people at church or the boss at work or anything else. The ball's in your court. It says, it gives you the answer right there in verse 5. Your thoughts are to be brought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. It's up to you to think on the right things. It's up to you not to be negative. It's up to you to be encouragement. Stress will ruin you. So that's the first suggestion I have, obey God. Second of all, submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, let's go to it. To your right, a few books, just a book. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We see the nine fruits of the Spirit. Tells you in verse 22, it's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith. It's meekness, and temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. Did you see every one of those things and have anything to do with stress? If you will follow the Holy Spirit and rely on Him in your life, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. It wasn't by accident that God planned that when you get saved, He comes into you in the form of the Holy Spirit. He knew you were going to go through stress within your life. He knew you were going to have those pressures. He would know that you would have excuses about it all too. No. First of all, obey God. Second of all, submit to the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's on you. It's not on anybody else. Peace. Third suggestion I give you, stay in the Bible.
Amen.
Stay in the blessed book. You know, we try to get away from all of the different things that come into our life. We are all upset, nervous and jerky and everything else because we have stress and we start to smoke. I smoked for years, huh? Always had a pack on me. Always. Sometimes I change smoke. I get so upset. People get a lot of stress and pressure and they'll start drinking. Drinking alcohol. Stress, pressure within your life will cause all kinds of things. And you'll reach out for different answers. That isn't the answer. The answer's in the book. I recommend every day stay in the book. This will help you. Go to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, that's what this is all about today, is to help you in your everyday life. This is the most practical sermon I've preached in a long time. Psalm 119, verse 165. Long Psalm, Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, the Bible, and nothing shall offend them. Huh? You're under the pressure, you're under the stress. You can get great peace if you stay in the book and you know, love the law of God. You got verse on it. I'm not going back to that church. I got offended. The person that leaves this church or any other church because they were offended do not love the Bible. I've got a verse on it. See it? They will not be offended, in verse 165, if they love thy law. They'll have great peace. Just because you're offended at something just means the Holy Spirit's convicting you. Do you ever think about that? Mm-hmm. What do you do about conviction? You repent. You confess it. You face it. You don't blame somebody else for it. Don't shoot the messenger, folks. So, the third thing is stay in the Bible. Isaiah 26:3, who knows it by heart?
Thou keeping the perfect peace with thine estate upon thee.
Everybody hear that? Okay. Are we talking about peace? Yeah. We talking about stress? Yeah. You don't have any peace when you're under pressure and stress and you don't know what to do about it. People go nuts because of the pressure. Because of the stress. They'll go ahead and get divorced and they'll blame it on the wife or blame it on the husband or blame it on the kids or whatever, you know. They'll quit their jobs and just do crazy loony things. It's because somebody has pressure on them. I worked out in the secular job. Life all my life, 42 years, and I retired from that. Didn't retire from preaching. Still here. I'm still kicking, that's why I'm here. Okay. But there's been plenty of stress. Managers put pressure and stress on me, threaten me, everything else. Bible says I'm supposed to be meek. I got to study on meekness too. I didn't do any of those loony things. I am loony, but I didn't do any of those loony things. You got to handle the stress. You got to handle the pressure. It's part of life. You're not going to get away from it and please God and have the peace that only comes from God. Another suggestion is handle your stress. Pray. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. Verse Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, talking about the Lord. He said, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." I suggest you do that. You don't really have to have a mountain, but you get alone someplace. The purpose is to pray. The answer is not in any self-help books or in any organizations. You don't need 25 steps to follow, you know. God has the answers in the book. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to obey the book. The peace comes from God that passes all understanding, it tells us. We need to get alone and pray to God every day. Don't put it off. Put down the stupid cell phone. Turn off the TV. Get away from the computer that can be a monster and control your life. You get right with God. Get rid of that. Handle, I say you can't get rid of it, but you can handle it. You handle the stress in your life and the pressures that come on in your life. Finish what you start is the fifth thing. If you start something, finish it. There is a certain element of closure when you start to do anything, and when you finally finish it, boy, that sense of completion. Praise the Lord. Check that off. Amen. Start what you finish. Has to do with stress, because until it's finished, the stress is on you to finish it. Finish it. Get it done. Number six, organize yourself. If you're not organized, you are going to frustrate yourself. Not only should your life be organized, your home needs to be organized, your work needs to be organized. It's not supposed to be confusion. God's not the author of confusion. It's not to be mayhem. You will have frustration if you don't organize. Number six, don't gossip. I've known a lot of gossips. They usually gossip about me. That's why I know them real good. They are always negative. They lie. They say they're Christians, and they just lie. Because they have loose ends in their own life. So they criticize. Watch out you don't find yourself under stress and pressure that causes you to be a gossip and criticize. Trying to pull other people down. Even people you say you love. Number eight, get a plan. Plan your life. Just don't bounce around like a ping pong ball every day, or you're like, "Oh, I don't know what I'm doing now." Plan. Get yourself organized. I have a calendar, and I mark down the different things that are going to happen on those days. I plan them. Try to organize that with Mrs. Drake as well, so that we're on the same page, we get the same plan, we know what's happening every day. That way we don't have to be under pressure and stress. We got it under control. That's the way God wants us to live. because that goes along with the next one, schedule. Get yourself a schedule. Huh? You got an alarm clock? Do the wise thing. You read the Bible, you don't see people sleeping it in. I slept in the other day, 7 o'clock. That was me sleeping in. Bible always talks about early risers. You want to be defeated in your life, or do you want to be an overcomer? Your body's the freshest. Your mind is the freshest. When you wake up in the morning, you might need a little help with the coffee or whatever. But get yourself on a schedule. It says that Jesus told even the apostles, to get away for a while. Take a mini vacation. A one-day trip or some crazy thing. Huh? Look at Mark chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark. You know, there's one thing about stress. Kind of an illustration of that is a sponge. Everybody's used a sponge. You got to take a sponge, you get it soaking wet, right? Let it just drip a little, and you put it on a table. All you got to do is just take your finger and put a little pressure on that, and the water comes out. Stress will bring out what's inside you. Life's full of stress and pressure. We can tell what fills us on the inside, but what comes out under pressure. Mm-hmm. How you going to handle that? Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place, and rest a while. There are many coming and going, and he had no leisure so much as to eat. You talk about stress. They were doing something for God. They were helping people. There was stress in the Lord and his disciples, and he's our example. If he has to get away and rest a while, so do you. Take a mini vacation. Go someplace. Go to the park, go to the beach, whatever. Don't get around other people. You go to the beach. There are a bunch of nudists out there. Oh, that's a bikini. They're nude. Men are lust after that. Women too. Be wise. Be holy. Obey God was the first thing, right? And when you do get away, don't take your laptop with you. Go and unwind. Go to McDonald's down here. I don't suggest eating anything out of there, but in this case I would. Go down to McDonald's, get one of those big large fries. Amen. And you're going to splurge. You're going to sit in your car and you're going to eat them one by one deliberately. I know how you guys eat those things. You take a handful. No. The stress and the pressure. Some ideas and things that would help you within your life. Number 10, delegate responsibility. Don't try to do everything yourself. Sometimes you're forced into that situation, but if you have others that, give chores. You got children in your house or whatever. You don't try to do everything, mom or dad. You delegate chores, responsibilities to kids. They are to learn what life's about at home. That's what home is for. The home isn't run by teenagers. The father's the head of the house, always been. He's the head of the wife, always been. I'll find you book, chapter, and verse and everything I'm preaching. Don't let it happen in your house. You let a lot of stress and pressure come on yourself. It's your own fault. Don't let little things rob you of the big things. Huh? Some little thing come up. You get a big thing you got to be doing. Little things are pestering you down here, you know. Don't let that happen. You keep your eye on the target. You got a goal to do something that's bigger than these little pestering things. Get the job done. Don't let things you love take away, take precedent over the things which must be done on time. There's a lot of things I don't love to do, I'll guarantee you, but they have to be done. And I make sure it is done, even though I don't love to do it. It's part of life. I'm not going to allow that stress to come upon me. The last thing is learn from mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Huh? Everybody's a sinner. But from those mistakes, don't repeat them. Learn. Make a rule within your life that you'll never put yourself in that position again. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because it kind of sums up everything that I preached to you this morning about stress. 1 Corinthians 14, the last verse. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Get your life in order. You let this world control you. Because there's lots of fun games and things and everything we can get into out here in the world, and it robbed your time, it robbed your heart, it takes away your peace, and you put more pressure and stress on yourself as well as others you love because you're doing that. You're not in order. Straighten up, as we used to say in the military. Get squared away. They'll teach you that in basic training, and I'll guarantee you that. Now that's on you. Don't blame somebody else. That's on you. One last verse, Colossians 3. To your right, a few pages. Get past Philippians, and you're getting to Colossians. I use this verse a lot, so important. Colossians chapter 3 and a verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And all those verses around there deal with that same thing, but that's the main thrust of it. You don't have peace in your life because you don't deal with your stress. You ain't going to get away with stress. You'll go through life with stress. But you know how to handle it. You don't let it, like a monster, destroy you. It'll destroy your family, your life, Christian life, church life. Don't let that happen. I hope that some of the things that I preached to you this morning make sense, and that it'll help you in your life. Because I want you to have peace. I want you to be victorious. Don't look to the world to cure you of your problems and things. The Word of God, everything I preach, will take care of that. Get close to God first thing, right? Obey God, brother. I love you all. That's why I preach this. For your benefit. Do it in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we, the family of God here in Farmington in this little old country church, Lord, that we might be wise and not fools, that we might get squared away, that we might obey you and get things in order and control the stress and pressure, not fade away from it, because there's going to be pressure in life to get jobs done, to do what we're going to do to fulfill the will of God. Help us to do that, relying on you all the more. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Take your hymn books, please.